So this is the magic formula that you may not have heard anywhere. Let me tell you this. If you buy a deal at 10% lower than the cap rate and you buy it at least 25 to 80%, you can double your money. And once you double your money, now you can refi out and you can flow.
Tim is one of the most authentic and genuine people I've ever met.
I sincerely believe he's coming from a position of giving, and that means a lot.
You're going to make huge progress.
Welcome, everybody, to today's Capital Raising Show. I'm your host, Tim Mai. And today we have an amazing guest on the line with us, James Kadasamy. James is, has been in the business now for over 10 years, and he's very popular, so much so that when I announced that I was interviewing James, I have a bunch of friends that reach out and, give me his book on passive investing in commercial real estate. I have friends that reach out and says, hey, I want to be on the show. I want to make sure I get an opportunity to say hi to James. And so if you've been in the multifamily space for a while, you might have heard of him. James is the co-founder and CEO of Achieve Investment Group. Like I said, James has more than 10 years of experience in real estate, with more than half of that being in the multifamily acquisitions and asset management. He's an expert in finding value in multifamily opportunities, identifying, underwriting, and oversaw the acquisition of over $517 million of quality multifamily investments, 19 assets, and that's continue growing. And he has successfully executed each business plan in the portfolio, averaging 20% IRR among his portfolio. James has a Bachelor of Science in Electrical Engineering from the Science University of Malaysia, an MBA from the University of South Adelaide, Australia?
Adelaide, Australia.
Amazing. So yeah, with that, let's give James a big virtual welcome. Hey! we need to have like a virtual clap somehow. Welcome,
Zoom,
James.
Need to have that feature.
So if you can share with us, James, how share with us a little bit about your business model, and then mm-hmm. we'll get into how did you get into this business.
Sure. Thanks, Tim, for having me on your show. This is, when you told me it's going to be 2 hours, I would say, okay, I want to be really make sure I add a lot of value to the audience, because, I really appreciate everyone here coming and meeting me, especially, this is the afternoon, right? It's like around 2 o'clock, right? So I think, people are taking some time and, spending time with me here. So my business model, I'm an operator. So we do everything A to Z. We do the money raising part ourselves. We do the operation, asset management, and we also have our own vertically integrated property management. So that's on the existing asset, right? So we have been focusing a lot on Class B and C for the past, 10 years, right? In the beginning, I started in a single family arena. And we also do ground up construction right now. So we have like 324 units, which is under construction right now, which is owned by me. And there's another 1,000 units, maybe like around 1,500 units is going through land entitlement or ground up planning, right? Basically, we call it as a design phase. So we do both existing asset and ground up construction in multifamily. And I like to play the four spectrum of real estate, not only in one spectrum. A lot of people do value add, right? That is only one spectrum. Right. I like to play, there's another six other spectrum, right? Six other area of real estate, and I like to play the rest of it. But out of that, I focus on four spectrum, which is starting from, buying raw land and entitling it. And after that, doing ground up construction. And after that, doing the value add part of it, right? So that's the high level business model. We have like 45 to 50 people working for us right now. 10 people in the corporate staff. And, we have an office here in Austin, Texas. We have 6,000 square feet office that's owned by us. And don't want to forget my wife, Shanti. She's the secret weapon. My secret weapon. She runs the operation and she runs the rehab of any existing asset. And she does all the design work for our new ground up construction as well.
That's awesome. Wow. Share with us, you mentioned earlier that you started with single family. How did you get into this multifamily side of the business?
Sure. So, I mean, I want to start a bit earlier than that because I want people
to relate. Yeah, definitely.
Not everyone started in real estate. Right? Not everyone is born into real estate where they have their parents or right. So I'm an electrical engineer in a tech company. I used to work for one of the largest semiconductor company in the world, right? If you guys can Google which one is it, you'll find out which one is it. So I've been there working for 16 years. After that, work on another company, which supplied to another largest, the biggest mobile phone manufacturers out there, or mobile phone producer. Used to work for them, and around 2013, I realized that, hey, I need to find a second income, because when I came to the US, recently, right? It's only 2010. I'm not, it's like more like 12 years here, right? So when I came here, I realized when my boss came and talked to me, I said, hey, James, you have to work here for 16 years. I said, why? He told me that, well, look, your kids, you have three kids, right? Your education is going to be expensive. I said, how much is the education? Where's like $200,000? I said, wow, really? Because I did my electrical engineering for $5,000.
Oh, wow. Right?
And I'm one of the best engineers out there from my colleague, right? In terms of solving problems and, leading teams. So when I heard about education costs in the US, it got me scared. I said, oh, I can't be working as a senior executive, electrical engineering, right? I have to do something else. So that's why I looked at different kind of business model. We tried to do some software startups, and that didn't work out. And I said, why not we do real estate? Because we have always been lucky with real estate in the beginning, even before, while doing engineering, our houses, we used to flip one, our primary residence, we buy, projects that need work, and then we remodel it. So we say, let's do real estate. And that's where I started buying single family houses, primarily for rentals because of tax efficiency. So we had like 13 houses we bought within 2 years. And I bought using very creative methods, not the normal, going through agents and all that. I used to listen to a lot of podcasts at that time. Now there's a lot of podcasts. Those days, there was only one major podcast, probably. I think it was the Bigger Pockets, right? So I used to listen to a lot of Bigger Pockets. When I started, I think Bigger Pockets was like only 250 podcasts. And I listened to each one of them, and I came out with my strategy. Because it's similar to this, right? People share ideas and strategies, right? But there will be someone, there will be like 1 or 2% here who's going to take down notes on whatever I'm saying and implement it. Right. They're going to work hard and do it, right? Not everybody listen to podcasts and take action, but I did that when I did for my 250-something podcast with Bigger Pockets. So use creative methods where wholesalers use it. Like I did cold calling, text blasting, yellow letter marketing, all the things that they teach in single family space. And we bought like 13 houses. We built almost 400,000 of equity at that time.
Wow.
Within 2 years, and I realized houses is too much work, right? So because of insurance and taxes, and it's all one each, right? And expire at different times. So I said, okay, I'm going to do multifamily. So I used the same strategy moving to multifamily. I said, I'm going to do this in 6 months and start sending cold texting and yellow letter to all the multifamily owners at that time. And that's how we got our first 45 units apartments in San Antonio, Texas.
Okay.
That's a trick that got us into the multifamily space. And from there, we went to 45 units, 174 units, 115 units, 340 something units. And now, we went up to almost for 3,000 units. And we sold like half of our portfolio 8 months ago at the peak of the market.
Great timing.
Great timing. Yeah, I don't, at that time, nobody knows, right? But we sold it because I know we have created so much value, and it's time to harvest the benefit of it, right? And I had this always, I want to consolidate some of my net worth. So that's how some of the money we went and started our own ground up construction right now.
Right.
And And that's where we are. I mean, we have a lot of other development deals that's going on as well.
That's awesome. So what have you make that switch into ground up construction?
Oh, from existing asset to ground up construction?
Yeah, correct.
It's a bit hard for me. I mean, I like to find really good deals, right? Deals where you look at the numbers, you want to be impressed with yourself. No? Mm-hmm. You do not want to do deals just to do deals, right? I mean, if you look at early 2020, 2021, there's so much money. Anybody can raise money, right? You throw mm-hmm. money, you go to some conference or you got a deal, everybody will throw in money, right? But for me, I really need to see the numbers. I really need to see the upside of the deal, and I really need to be comfortable. So what happened was my deal flow, even though I get a lot of deal flow, I mean, the deal that qualify my happiness criteria has reduced in 2021 and 2022, and we stopped buying. And I realized I'm a value-add guy. That's the play in commercial real estate, right? Force appreciation. That's the magic number. I mean, cash flow, I know people say cash flow, but you can get cash flow in a lot of things, right? You can even buy a Walgreens and get cash flow. You can buy a medical office and get a cash flow. You can buy industrial, but in multifamily apartment, the biggest thing is how do you get that force appreciation where you're able to turn around an operation and get that increase in NOI. And that's like making money out of thin air, if you think about it, right? Because there's no money, but just because of your operational expertise, you're able to increase that value, right? So when I see that, I mean, I did a lot of calculation because I'm an engineer. I like, hey, I'm doing very well in my single family. What's the problem here, right? My single family, I was getting 20-30% cash on cash, right? And when I refi out, I don't even have money on it. It's like infinite return. I say, why are all these guys talking about multifamily? There's a lot of guys talking about multifamily. So I was doing calculation after calculation. I say, I'm getting here 20-30%. I'm owning this myself. And everybody here is barking about 7-8% cash on cash. Why? And it took me almost a week to understand this because nobody can really explain to me very well. Because I talked to people, I said, why are you guys doing multifamily, right? Then I realized, okay, if you buy low enough, right? So this is the magic formula that you may not have heard anywhere. Let me tell you this. If you buy a deal at 10% lower than the cap rate, and you buy it at least 25 to 80%, you can double your money. Once you hit that NOI, the 10% increase, and at that time, right, there was like, at that time was like 5 cap or 6 cap, I can't remember. You can double your money. And once you double your money, now you can refi out and you can flow free commercial real estate. So that's where it took me some time to count why I need to do multifamily, right? So once I realized that now you can own a building at a very, very low basis because you already increased the NOI and you already take out your cash out. So now you are basically either having a free building or you're having a building with very, very low cash. So, and the amount of money is big, right? Because we're talking millions. Houses, you're talking about 100,000 at that, 100,000 to 200,000. So that was the reason why I switched from single family rentals to multifamily. The power of force appreciation, especially when you buy value-add deals, deep value-adds, not the normal way, because it has also become a normal that everybody says this value-add, right? I'm talking about deep value-add, true value-add, where you have a upside on the rent, right? When you buy that kind of deal and you're able to reposition them, increase the value, and you refinance out your cash out, now you're owning the property, a very large property with income, free and clear of a very low basis. That's the magic that makes your wealth goes, 2x, 3x very quickly, right? That was the reason why I moved to multifamily.
Gotcha. Okay. So, with the time that you've been into this syndication side, multifamily syndication side, how much would you estimate that you have raised so far?
For this show, actually, I never really counted how much I've raised because we just keep on raising. For this show, I have to count and see. It was almost $80 million.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah. And let me clarify that. I need to qualify some things because a lot of people throw in numbers. They have raised 200,000 or 100 million.
Right.
I mean, that was raised just by me. There's no co-GPs. Wow. We didn't use any money raisers. That's me going on a webinar. I raised it in, we usually maximum will take like 3 or 4 days to raise our money.
Oh, wow.
We're able to raise very quickly. And I don't do a lot of deals, right? As I said, I really need to be happy with the deals. And when I present my deals to my investors, I mean, investors can see the passion that I have in the deal, right? That's one of the tips that for your capital raisers out there, whoever who want to be capital raisers, when you present your deal to your investors to raise the money very quickly, right, is the passion that you have in the deal. That's very important. And when you have that passion, you know, you should not be having a lot of problem raising money for it.
That's good. Would you say that it's your book here? I see in your background as well, you have two books. Have your books been a really great source of passive investors for you?
So I know that question is going to come up. So I wrote this book in 2019, if I'm not mistaken. I think I read the book. But by that time, I already raised $30 to $40 million.
Okay.
Right. So the book is not the biggest factor for me to raise money, right? But I think it has given a lot of people education, right? The other day I met one guy, I know him since 2019. He said, James, I read your book and I invested in 14 deals. And I said, well, you're not one of my investors. I get into your deal. I said, what? So that was a revelation for me. Yeah, a lot of people read my book, but they don't, obviously I don't expect them, all of them, to read, to invest in my deals. It was a revelation. A lot of people do read my book, and I'm really happy to add value to a lot of people, because when I started, even now, right, there's a lot of podcasts, there's a lot of educational content for active investors. But keep in mind, it's only 5% of active investors out there, right? 95% of people are passive, right? So there's no book at that time to cater for this 95%. I said, I need to give education to these people, because
I see.
Even when I did my first deal, I got one investor who had like $1 million. And by the second deal, after 1 year, he came back to me, James, I invested all the $1 million. I said, why? Why you didn't wait for me for my second deal? They said, well, the deal came in, they said 10% return, I invested it. So I realized that a lot of passive investors do not know this part, right? I mean, there's a lot of education on stocks, right? People talk about value stocks, growth stocks, thousands of, because stock business is a fee industry, right? You know, the more education you do, it's more fee all this stock brokerage company makes. It's a fee industry. For me, that's what I see it, right? I mean, of course, people make money and all that, but individual investors is really hard to make money. So in real estate, especially in syndication, that time was very new, right? A lot of people, you have to go to gurus and pay them $20,000 to be part of the passive club and get the same thing that you get from this $20 book, right? And after some time, all these clubs, you also see that a lot of passive will say, oh yeah, I already learned whatever I can, but I still have to pay $20,000 or $6,000 every year, where you can get something from the book, right? Mm-hmm. And even the lot of coaching doesn't have the knowledge that I've given in the book, right? Because keep in mind, I mean, everybody, you know, there's a lot of clubs making money from active and passive. That's okay. That's a business model. But there's a lot of science behind investing.
Right.
And I wanted to summarize my thought process on how a passive investor should invest into a book. And I really didn't think that I'm going to get a lot of passive investors from the book. I really want to give value to the people. So this, you know, took me 2 years to write the book. Yeah, it took me 2 years to write another book too, which I'm going to show, which is in the back of me, right, for the doctors. And I'm writing my third book, which is also taking me 2 years, right? It takes a lot of time to write a book, to write a really high quality content book where you're truly writing a book. It's not a marketing book. I'm talking about a real book, right? Where you are the author and you really want to give value.
Right. That's great. And with you mentioning about your book, you know, for the doctors, you're an engineer. So what have you decided to write a book for doctors and not for engineers?
Oh, that's good. That's a really good question. doctors are, I mean, I have like 20% of my investor base doctors. And every time I, once they start investing with me, they keep on saying, oh, I should have known this long time ago. Why nobody tell me, right? Or most of the doctors will say, or nobody told us about syndication. Everybody talks about stock, right? They are hunted, or they're hunted by all these financial advisors.
Right.
All the stock guys, you know, who mutual funds all hunt for doctors. And what has happened to the doctors' industry is all doctors have put a big financial wall around them because they're being bombarded with so much of solicitation of to invest. So looking at these two facts, saying that, oh, doctors want to get into this kind of deal, at the same time, they are being blocked by their own mental mindset just because of where they are and who's targeting them. I said, let me give them something. It's a third party independent IP, right? Which is a book. They can pick it up, they read it. You know, if they like it, they do it. Otherwise, so nobody's going to solicit them. So that's why I wrote my second book, which is what? Smarter Doctors, right? You work hard, make your money work harder, right? So, So it's basically a book which is written specifically for doctors, you know, talking about their lifestyle, their life cycle, you know, coming out from school and retiring, and why they should be investing in syndication type of model where they get passive income. Why not engineers? Well, I know engineers, how they think, and like me, I mean, a lot of engineers, they love to be active investors. And, you know, sometimes it's very hard for them to be passive investor because they like to go into details. So my own personal thinking is engineers, you know, they are more active than they're very difficult for them to be passive because they like to ask a lot of questions about, you know, financials, and, you know, that's not really passive, right? So they become like me, right?
That's an interesting perspective. Okay.
Yes. That's my own perspective. Nothing, no bias against it. I mean, there are a lot of engineers who are investing with me as well. But I think doctors, because of the wall that they have put in around them, I guess I need to write a third party IP to educate them.
Right. And what's your third book about?
A third book is very interesting book. I mean, it's very interesting for me. So it's called Breakout. So that book I'm writing about different levels of people in this industry. Right, you have passive investors, you have money raisers, you have KPs, you have deal sponsors, you have operators. It's basically how you start from a W-2 employee or some other business employee to creating a generational wealth for yourself.
Mm.
Right? Like, for example, what is the exit plan for capital raisers? What do you think? What's the exit plan? I mean, there's a lot of capital raisers in this party, right? Or show, right? What is the exit plan? Do you just, where do you end up 10 years from now? There's no real clear answer, right?
Right.
Yeah. What is the exit plan for all the syndicators out there? There's no clear answer, right? So Breakout is basically, I'm giving them the path. Where do you exit in your life? Mm. And how do you exit at the end of your life, right? Because you can't be thinking just syndicating, right? I mean, what is that? You're also, when you're syndicating, you are basically working for the passive investors, right? You're still not retired yet. When you're capital raising, you're always on the mercy of the operator, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you exit at the end of your life is where the book Breakout is going to be about, right? So I talk about six different levels of this industry. The industry that we all are in, syndication, six different levels. And there's like four different breakout where each person can break out from one level to the other level, right? How do you break out from passive investors to become an active investor? How do you break out from an employee to a business owner, right? How do you break out from a business owner to be creating generational wealth? And how do you go from generational wealth to leaving a legacy? So it's a really interesting book from my perspective. I think it's going to take another 6 to 7 months for me to finish that book.
That's good. Yeah. So besides books, what are your other top ways of attracting passive investors?
So top ways, basically we do a lot of, I used to have a podcast, but I don't think so. Podcast is, it's a bit hard to measure podcasts, right? Because you don't know who's listening to it and becoming your passive investor, right? So I did podcasts because I want to interview others. At the same time, I can ask a lot of detailed questions and learn from them.
Right.
Unfortunately, I'm not very active on podcasts right now because, you know, it's a bit hard. I mean, I like to ask a bit more detailed questions, and sometimes I don't find the quality guests that going to give me value, right? And my audience value, right? I mean, so I'm in the hunt for really highly skilled operators who I can learn something from. Webinars are really good ways. Just adding value is very important. Like what you're doing right now, you're adding value to others, right? You're spending your time, spending money to create this podcast, you're promoting it. It's all time and adding value. That's right. That's where I think the biggest attraction of passive investor comes from, right? So because they want to invest with someone who they like and trust, and to like and trust is not easy, right? So, and I'm not a celebrity, right, in this industry, right? So, but you know, it takes time to build that, right? So when I started, I always want to share same thing. When I wrote my book, I started writing blogs in my web, in my websites, and I just start giving, right? Just give for free, just give the knowledge for free, and at one point people will know whether this person is likability and trust or not, right? Second thing, of course, you have to be the domain knowledge, right? If you're talking about multifamily, I would recommend everyone to learn underwriting, right? Or at least how you analyze an apartment complex, right? Same thing with triple net lease or any commercial, right? You have to know how triple net works. So when people talk to you, especially accredited investors, they will know whether you know what you're talking about. Right? So accredited investors, they're very smart people. That's why they call accredited investors. When they talk to someone and they can see that this person knows what he's talking about, they're attracted to them, right? Same thing like when you go and see a doctor, right? There'll be like 10 doctors, but there'll be one doctor who's like really, really aligned to you. He talks to you in your language. He's very knowledgeable. You're gonna recommend that doctor to many other people, right? So because of adding value and you know, just giving content for free and knowing domain knowledge is very important, right? So third is, of course, I'm an operator and we do really, really good deals. You know, our results in operation is outstanding, right? We do deals, we buy 45 units, the first 45 units, we refinance out in 12 months and give 100% back to investors. And in 4 years, we give 333% return. So I don't have to even publicize that, right? Even within the accredited investors, they start talking. Our second deal, we bought it at $37 a door. We refinanced at $72 a door. We returned back 100% to everyone. After four years, we did 300%.
Wow.
Where you can get that kind of deal, right? It's like making money out of thin air. So the word spreads, right? So, and usually accredited investors, they are friends, right? Friends and same group of people, right? So somehow the track record that we have is really, really good. As I said, I'm very passionate about any deal that we do. We are really, really we like to put our heart and soul into the deal and we really make it successful. So we are not focused on doing deal after deal. You'll see some syndicators, they do deals after deals after deals, and they use 10 core GPs to raise the money. I mean, they can probably raise the money, but I think it's more of a volume kind of thing, whereby we like to go more on quality, right? So these are the three things that you want to target, right? So let me give you one more tips. A lot of passive investors are not in the conferences. They are not in the meetups. They are not in the Facebook groups. I'm talking about passive investors who has a lot of money and who put a lot of money with you, right? They are not in any of these places. So if you're spending time going for a lot of these events, looking for investors, you might be doing the wrong thing, or you may be doing the less effective thing. It's a very less efficient way of finding passive investors, right? So because I know a lot of conferences I go on multifamily, they all want to be like us, right? They want to be like me. Right? They are not the passive investors we're looking for, right? So where are the passive investors? So I look for a group of passive investors where I call passive investors.
Mm.
So this group of people, they're very passive. They are not in this, they're not in the active circle.
Mm-hmm.
They are passive. They have a lot of money. They only know you as the operator, right? So now they're going to be looking for you to bring in deals, and they trust you and they only know you, and they're going to invest a lot of money with you, right? Having said that, I have like 450 investors. Our average investment's like probably like 125,000 per person. There are some investors that has been investing just heavily with me and my team. And even last year, 2022, we basically created 6 millionaires of passive investing.
Wow.
Passive investors, 6 passive investors who didn't do anything. Listen to me, right? They didn't do anything for the past 3 years and they got $1 million check. Minimum million, right? I mean, there was one person who got 2.3 million. Without doing anything, they become passive investors. So passive investing is a beautiful thing if you know how to invest, right? And I know I don't want to just promote my book. In the book, there's a lot of information that I've given about passive investing. Even the people who have done like 10, 15 passive investing, when they read my book, they said, oh, I wish I would have known this when I started, right? Because it talks about different way to invest passively, which not covered in other places, right? So right. So these are the things that, you know, 4 to 5 things that you want to do if you want to be a very successful capital raiser and add value to people and be successful end of the day.
Right. That's awesome. So this passive investors you're talking about, give us like one place, one good source that we can go to start to, you know, associate with them more.
Go to conferences where there's no real estate investors.
Like, right? A doctor's expo kind of thing.
Yeah. How many conferences have you been in the past 1 year?
Me?
Oh yeah.
A lot. At least. Lot.
Yeah. The last three. Let's go with the last three.
Yeah. The last 3 years. I mean, let's just say, you know,
the one you remember, yeah. I guess.
Whatever. Yeah. The last three or even the last 10, they all been real estate events.
Yeah. Real estate, multifamily, where if you look around, everybody want to be like you.
Right.
So you are basically in the wrong conference then. Right. So you want to go for that conference if you want to find partners,
mm-hmm.
JV partners, or you want to look for operators. Yeah, you want to go for that conference. But if you want to look for passive investors, that's the wrong conferences to go. Right. So look for conferences where you are able to establish yourself. Oh, right. This is a, let's say this is a business owner conference,
right.
Chamber of Commerce conference, but there's one real estate guy standing there, and that is Tim Mai. Let me go and talk to him. So now you become a celebrity there.
Right.
If you go to somewhere where there's 100 real estate investors, you are just a nobody there, right? So that's a quick tip, right? So there's other things, right? And among your friend cycle, I mean, everybody's busy, right? You can also do something called micro meetups, right? Meetups where you go and give them education at their home using their TV, right? Just prepare some slides to talk about introducing them to real estate, right? So these are the people, they're busy. They're not going to come to conferences. Mm. Look at your friends' network and say, you know, if you have some time, I'm happy to come and give you guys some introduction about real estate at your home on a Sunday, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, when you all are bored, can come and talk to me.
Right.
So these are things where you find passive investors. They are not in conferences. They are not in Facebook groups. They are not in meetups. You know, they are out of real estate cycle.
Gotcha.
Or circle.
Yeah, that's really good. So with this market, you know, this challenging market, uncertainty in the market that's coming up, have you noticed any changes when it comes to raising capital from investors? Are they more conservative now? Are they more resistant to investing now? What are you noticing in the marketplace right now?
Well, I mean, I do not know about now because I didn't raise money for the past 8 months. I didn't raise any money for past 8 months. But I've heard that people are a bit more resistive in putting more money because the feel-good factor is no more there, right? 8 months ago, crypto was doing very well. Stock market was very high and everybody had a feel-good factor, right? They have so much. Everybody feel rich. Right now, right. Everybody, because of the stock market's down, crypto's down, people are willing want to reserve the money. Having said that, I do see a lot of people still raising money. So I do believe there's a lot of money out there to be raised. But as I said, you know, I'm really very sensitive to market cycle because we really don't have to do deals if I don't have to do deals, right? We have made we have made an impact on our deals a lot. And we really like to try to take care of our reputation. But this is a long game, right? During COVID, there's a group of syndicators who disappeared, right? Because before COVID, they bought a lot of deals very quickly. And during COVID, a lot of them disappeared, right? You're going to see another batch of syndicators disappearing during the next 6 to 12 months. Because right now interest rate is high, everybody bought crazy prices in 2020, 2021, everybody using bridge loan because the apartment prices went up above intrinsic value, above its value, because that's the only reason why you do bridge loan, unless you're doing a deep value add. But everybody was buying class A, class B cash flowing asset with bridge loan, right? Because agencies are out, right? Agency are the true value, intrinsic value lenders, right? Whereas bridge loans are future value lenders, right? But the future value now is diminished, right? So a lot of them who took bridge loans, right now they are wondering what to do because now bridge loan is going to expire, their rate cap is going to expire, and their loan terms are going to be expiring. So, and they bought it at 80% leverage, you know, at 3 cap. Now the market's like 5.5 to 6 cap. And cap rate has expanded, so everybody is going to be, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people struggling in the past. In fact, I can already see right now for the next 12 months there's a lot of people already suffering and going to be suffering. So I would say don't rush out there. I mean, if you want to invest, investment is a long-term play, and syndicators who play the long game will stay on beyond this crisis. So that's my thought in where, you know, how the business is going to be for the next 6 to 12 months.
If you, were to do it all over again, starting into this business 10 years ago, is there anything you would do differently?
No, I wouldn't have done anything differently. Yeah, I mean, because a lot of times, whatever journey that you're taking, you're actually learning a lot of things, right? So learning and implementing, it's very key as you move forward. And I think we have done pretty well in that. I wouldn't say anything different that I would have done, right? I mean, always learn the single family side of it or basic real estate before coming to multifamily because single family is the most easiest and the simplest way to learn real estate, right? So when I come to multifamily, I already know how to read a lease. I already know how tenant behaves or residents behave when they're renting or places.
Yeah, that's definitely good to know. For the folks listening, if they want to reach out to you, connect with you, invest with you, partner with you, where would you like to send them?
First, read my book, Achieve Investment Group is my company. If you guys want to get a free copy, you have to pay like $4 something shipping cost for this book, Passive Investing in Real Estate. Passiveinvestinginrealestate.com. I think the URL is at the back, right? So passiveinvestinginrealestate.com. You can get the physical book instead of buying in Amazon for $20. you can get that book and connect with me as well. If you want to come to my website, it's achieveinvestmentgroup.com. My email is james@achieveinvestmentgroup.com, and you can connect to me. I try to go for conferences, but not all the conferences I'll be there, but we can meet up there too.
That's great. There's a question from Nathaniel. Is it on Audible?
Yes, absolutely. I'm an Audible guy. So when I launch, in fact, both books should be in Audible. Yeah, I mean, the passive investing is always in Audible. You guys can get it. The doctor book, the Smarter Doctor books, I recently launched the Audible. I need to make sure whether it's already there or not, but it's coming in Audible as well.
That's great. That's perfect. Okay. One last question for you for the interview part of our show today. What's any last words of wisdom that you'd like to leave us all with today?
Last word of wisdom. Go slow in your real estate life journey or in a syndication life journey or passive investing life journey. Go slow. Don't rush. Don't make sure you always know who are you investing with. This is a long-term game. And as I said, people disappear if they go too quick, right? So take time to learn the business. Take time to build the trust. Add value to your audience. That's very, very important. And add selflessly, right? Mm-hmm. We have sold, more than 5,000 copies of this book, but, I never really go and count how much I make money from the book, right? We don't really make money from the book. It's probably $3 or $4 per book, right? So that's it. But I think if you add value, people will see you adding value. I mean, it seems like what Gary Vaynerchuk has told, right? He said, add value and build that trust. And one day when you ask them for something, they're gonna get back to you.
That's awesome. Well, James, thank you so much for doing this interview with me today. I really appreciate you greatly. Yes, you are adding a ton of value to us today.
Absolutely. I really hope people get some golden nuggets and implement some of the things that they have learned in this episode.
Awesome.